your Bibles and turn over to Luke chapter 5. I'm going to share some things with you tonight, just flat out, just tell you what this is all about. This is a prosperity message tonight.
Glory.
Yeah, glory. But to be quite honest with you, it may not be the kind of prosperity message that a lot of people want to hear. In fact, I'll even go so far as to guarantee you that there are some folks out there that really wouldn't want this prosperity message preached because of the prosperity message they're preaching. This one kind of flies in the face of some of it. But if it's in the Word of God, I figure we might as well take the time to look at it and understand what it has to say. So in Luke chapter 5, let's just read verses 1 through 11. This will be our foundation. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, said unto him, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now let's back up and take a look at this. God kind of walked me through these verses to show me some things. And quite frankly, what I'm going to share with you tonight, I've heard just the opposite preached. And you'll understand that when we're finished. But in verse 1, there were a whole bunch of people that wanted to hear the word of God. And let me just, I'm telling you right now that this message could represent a financial breakthrough for people all over the place if they'll just let it sink in. The practicality of this message is beyond belief, but it's so glossed over and missed by so much of the preaching and teaching today that people don't get it. But you're going to see this as clear as you can see me here tonight. You're going to see it when we're finished. There's a whole bunch of people wanted to hear the Word of God. They wanted to hear some good teaching and good preaching, which I figured Jesus was highly qualified to deliver, don't you? And so it says that in verse 1, there's a whole bunch of people and they pressed upon Him. In other words, this crowd was starting to build. And when it says they pressed upon Him, they were getting pretty close to Him. And they're wanting to hear the Word of God. And so Jesus, He's willing to give them what they want. The problem is, the way that the crowd's all around Him, He can't be heard, and it's getting difficult to really share the way that He wants to. And so, in verse 2, we find two ships. They're anchored, if you will. And the fishermen were out of the boats, and it says that they were washing their nets. Now, this same story is recorded over in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. This was a fishing business. It wasn't just Peter, James, and John. It was Peter, James, John, and Zebedee, and they had hired servants. That's what's recorded over there in Mark. And so this is a fishing business, and these guys are professional fishermen. In fact, over in Mark, they're referred to as fishers. And here we have the phrase or the word fisherman. So this is what they did. You know, if they had been in a wood shop, they would have been carpenters. If they had been out stringing wire, they'd have been electricians. But these guys here were professional fishermen. And so in verse 2 it says that their boats were anchored and they were washing their nets. Now, in those days, I don't know a whole lot about fishing. I just know what I've researched as far as this situation. In those days, the professional fishermen, when they would come in from fishing, what they would do is they'd take their nets out of the boat and they would begin washing the nets to get seaweed and barnacles or whatever had caught up on the nets. And they would have to repair them because, you know, sharp rocks or maybe a fish with some sharp teeth or something bite through, whatever. I don't know. But they would have to repair them. And they had to do this every day because if they didn't, the nets could get stagnant. They could start to rot. All kinds of stuff could happen to them. And the condition could get worse. And it was easier to fix than to buy new. But it was hard work, especially if the nets were in a mess. It was really hard work. And so Jesus finds these boats, but the fishermen were repairing. Now, we already know from what we've read that they had been out fishing all night long. Now, I don't know about you, but any time in my life when I've ever done anything all night long, come morning, I am ready to go home and go to bed. Don't mess with me. I want to go home and go to bed. Might stop at Krispy Kreme on the way, but I want to go home and I want to go to bed. I'm tired. I'm worn out. Especially, you know, fishing. These boats, the image that I had always had was that these boats were like, you know, Michael Row the Boat Ashore boats. You know, little. That's not what these were. They weren't little bitty rowboats, but then they weren't the Queen Mary either. I mean, they were good-sized fishing boats. And these nets that they used weren't, you know, little hairnet kind of things. I mean, these were, you know, heavy nets and be even heavier when they get wet. And then you can imagine all night, net goes over, you pull it in, and nothing. Net goes over, you pull it in, and nothing. All night long. Now, do you think you'd be tired? You think your back might be a little achy? You think your arms might be? And not only that, you haven't caught anything, so are you going to be in a really good mood? Remember, to a professional fisherman, fish equals money, right? So you just put in, let's just say your 8 hours, however long these guys were out. You just put in your 8 hours, and you don't have a dime to show for it. Now, how many of you would like that? Go to work, spend your 8 hours, and go home, and you know you're not going to get paid for your day's work. You'd quit that job fast, wouldn't you? Well, but this is what these guys did. So here it is, morning. They're fixing their nets, washing their nets, and you know they're tired. You know they just want to go home. You know they want to get something to eat. You know, just you can imagine the whole thing. It'd probably stink, you know. They just want to go home. It's, you know, day's over, night's over. Well, Jesus looks over at them, and in verse 3, he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. So here's the scenario. These guys are working on their nets. The boats are right there. Now, the fishermen are not stupid. They can see there's a crowd of people, all right? And so maybe they were listening to what was going on. We don't know exactly what the response was. My guess is they're half listening, half paying attention, and doing the net stuff. Because they want to get done, you know? They're aggravated, tired. And then Jesus walks over. You know, Simon and others are watching this. And Jesus, you know, climbs into Simon's boat. Now, who's in the boat? Jesus. Who else is in the boat? Nobody. He's the only one in the boat. Remember, it said he saw the ships. He's right in there. And nobody was in them. The fishermen were working on the nets. So Jesus climbs into the boat, says, "Simon, would you mind taking me out a little bit?" Now, what do you think the flesh response would have been? "Get out of my boat, man. I'm tired. I fished all night, didn't catch a thing. My nets, trying to get them fixed. I want to go home. Buddy, I want to go home." And Jesus, now it says he prayed him. In other words, he was persuading him to do this. He didn't just say, It doesn't say ask. It says he prayed him. And so he says, how can you resist Jesus, right? I'm sure he's just got a way about him. And he says, Simon, could I please impose upon you? I know you're tired. I know you're worn out. But could you just help me out here? These folks, they want me to teach, and I can't. So could you just maybe push out a little bit? Not too far, Simon. Just a little bit from land. Now, why did he want to do that? Well, in part, because it would get him away from the crowd of people. And second, water is a natural amplifier. So when you're on a boat and you're speaking, water is like glass. It will reflect the sound. In fact, I didn't know this. They talk about people who jump off of bridges and kill themselves and all that. And I'm thinking, well, what's the big deal? Water, I can be in a swimming pool and go, and my hand goes straight through. Well, apparently, once you get above 135 feet, if you aren't almost super perfect straight with your feet pointed straight down, the water, if you hit the water at any kind of an angle, it's like hitting solid cement. 135 feet and above. That's why people die when they jump off of bridges. Well, I didn't realize it was that big of a deal, but that's what happens. Anyway, water becomes a natural reflector of sound. So by pushing off a little bit, Jesus was able to kind of get away from the folks, but at the same time as he would speak, his voice would be kind of reflected off and people could hear him better. So here's what's happened. They fished all night, they want to go home, get their nets cleaned up and all this, and Jesus interrupts everything. And he says, look, I'm going to teach these people. Can you help me out? And they said, and Simon says, well, okay, I'll help you out. And so verse 3 tells us that he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, we don't know for sure what Simon was doing at this time. He was in the boat with Jesus. He might have brought a net with him to work on it. We don't know. Nevertheless, he's there. Jesus is teaching. Well, Jesus gets done teaching, and in verse 4, he looks at Simon and he says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft. In other words, do something that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And in verse 5, you ever like pulled an all-nighter? And you think you're going to get to go home and go to bed, and then stuff starts happening. And by the time stuff starts happening, and the stuff that started happening is over with, you don't even want to go to bed now. It's like, what's the use? You just kind of, you reach that point of, it's like half exhaustion, half stupor, half aggravation. Well, that's three halves. But anyway, that's kind of what you feel like, isn't it? And so, I'm guessing Simon kind of was like that. Physically, he probably was close to feeling that way. And so he answers in verse 5. And he says, now look how he answered this. We've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. What's he really saying here in this? What he's saying is this: I'm a professional fisherman, and I did what should have produced, because I know how to fish. I wouldn't have fished all night long, Jesus, if I didn't know that was the time to fish. How many of you with me? See what I mean? A carpenter knows there's different kinds of saws to make certain kinds of cuts on a piece of wood. One saw is used to cut against the grain. The other saw is used to cut with the grain. Now, if you're a guy like me, as long as the saw has teeth, you don't care. But a person that works with wood, they know these things. And same thing with like a table saw. There are different blades for a table saw for different kinds of cuts. But if you're like me, as long as it works, I don't care. Just cut the wood and let's go. Well, here's Simon. They fished all night long because they knew that's when they were supposed to catch the fish. In other words, in their profession, they did exactly what they were supposed to do, where they were supposed to do it. You notice they weren't out in the desert casting their nets? That's because they weren't trying to catch camels. They were trying to catch fish. And so the image I want you to get is these guys weren't stupid. They're professional fishermen. This is how they make their living. And they were doing exactly what they knew they were supposed to do to get the best results. And Jesus says, I want you to do this for me, Simon. Let me teach. Use your boat. He teaches. Then he says, now push on that a little bit further. Throw your net over to catch some fish. And Simon says, well, you know, as a professional fisherman, I've already done exactly what's supposed to be done to catch fish, and I didn't catch anything. But nevertheless, what's another 5 minutes of futility? I'm already exhausted. My wife's probably wondering where I am. Okay, Jesus, nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it. So he goes out a little bit further, throws over the net, and look what happens. Verse 6. When they had this done. This King James stuff sometimes even throws me a curve. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. Now let me ask you a question. Who was in the boat with Jesus? Well, the only person that's recorded here is that Simon was in the boat with Jesus. It doesn't say anybody else was in the boat with Jesus other than Simon. So it's possible that there was only two people in that boat at that moment. What two people? Jesus and Simon. Based on that, verse 6, the they that were doing this was Jesus and Simon. So the net gets thrown over. Can you imagine the little smile on Jesus' face? He knows what's coming. The net gets thrown over. And they're pulling that net in. And they feel the first few tugs, you know, of the resistance from the fish. And there's Simon's like, I'm guessing that at first he might have thought, snagged on a rock. Remember, because they caught nothing all night long, and you're not supposed to catch anything right now. Because if you had supposed to catch something right then, that's when he'd have been fishing, right? So, oh man, I just fixed this net. It's this crazy teacher here. And then he realizes, man, that's fish. That's a lot of fish. And there's Jesus, you know, got that little grin on his face because he knows what's coming. And they start to pull. It's like, gee whiz, look what happens. The net broke. And so they called to the other partners, called to the other boat, said, get that ship and come out here now. We got all kinds of fish. And they got out there and filled both ships to the point that the boats began to sink. You've got to have a lot of fish to get any kind of boat to sink. I don't care if it was a row, row, row your boat little thing there. You've got to have a lot of fish for the boat to start to sink. And these were professional fishermen with professional nets and professional fishing boats for that day and time. And it says the boats started to sink. And it says in verse 9, he, Peter, was astonished, and all that were with him. They were astonished. They were astonished. Why were they astonished? Well, for one thing, they were catching fish when they weren't supposed to be catching fish. For another thing, they were catching more fish than they would even expect to catch when you are supposed to catch fish. And it's my guess, though I don't know that I could prove this, it's my guess they'd never caught this much ever in one time in their entire lives. Ever. Period. They were astonished. You say, well, why do you think that they never had before? Well, let me ask you something. If you had ever been out, if it had been the routine that every 3 or 4 months you caught so many fish that your boat would start to sink, wouldn't you get a bigger boat? These guys didn't have a boat big enough. They had two boats, and neither one of them was big enough to carry what each boat had. And so they were starting to sink. In other words, these guys were totally unprepared for this kind of a catch. That tells me that it's probable they had never caught this much ever in their entire lives. And the boats start to sink. Well, you know, Peter, he gets all worked up over this. He starts repenting. Oh, depart from me, O Lord. Well, where's he going to go? They're out there in a boat. What, you want him to jump overboard and swim ashore? The walking on water thing hasn't come yet. He says, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Well, anyway, I'm looking at this, and the Lord said one of the greatest financial increase messages in all of Scripture is in here. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, well, yeah. And now here's how I've heard this taught before. Some of you, maybe you can relate. First off, when we hear about the prosperity message, don't we hear so much about you have to sow to reap, you have to give in order to get? We hear Luke 6:38 butchered time and time again. You know, give, it'll be given unto you, pressed down, running over, and all this other. And then we get over in Corinthians and Galatians about the sowing and reaping, and you know, those are pulled out of context, and those are butchered, and those are presented to us that, you know, if you don't give, then you can't have, and you can't be blessed, you can't prosper, and all this other. And so the way that I had heard this taught before was this. It was the sowing, reaping, give, and get principle. Peter sowed the use of his boat into the life of Jesus, and he received a blessing in return. That's not what happened. How do you know that? Because, all right, for one, these guys were astonished at the catch. In other words, there was no anticipation that anything was going to be caught. Otherwise, why be astonished? Second of all, there's no indication that they had any expectation of any kind of recompense. There's nothing in here that states that Peter had in his mind they were going to be blessed, or that they were going to increase, or that they were going to get something out of this. Nothing at all. Because if that's what they thought, they would have taken both boats out at the same time. Are you with me? Well, bless God, I sowed the use of my boat into Jesus' life, and I'll tell you right now, I'm going to get my hundredfold return. Come on, boys, let's get these boats out here. God owes us. That's not in there. In fact, it's just the opposite. He complained about it, didn't he? I fished all night, Jesus, and I didn't catch a thing. But at your word, okay. And then he was surprised at what he caught. Now, if he had sown his boat to get a blessing from Jesus, he wouldn't have fussed about what he hadn't caught all night long. He'd have been confident, oh yes, Jesus, I just knew that I was going to reap my hundredfold return. I just knew that if I sowed my boat into your ministry for you to use it to preach the gospel to the people, that I would get a bountiful blessing in return. Come on, Jesus, let's go fishing. That's not in there. In fact, even though these specific words aren't in there, it's almost like Peter would rather not. We fished all night long and didn't catch anything. It makes no sense whatsoever to think we're going to catch anything now. He said, nevertheless, at thy word, I'm already out here. Okay, we'll do it. But there's nothing in here that tells us that he was expecting any kind of a return, which is just the opposite to the sowing and reaping, giving and getting message, is it not? Because when you're taught to sow in order to reap financial blessings and to give in order to reap financial blessings, don't you walk away from the offering time expecting something back? Peter didn't. So it's obvious here that Peter was not living by that principle. All he did, he's working. Now please catch the scenario here. He's on the job, and Jesus comes along and says, Peter, I want to interrupt your work day and ask you to please help me get the word to these people. And Peter took the fishing boat, one of them, which belonged to the business, which he was part owner anyway, but it belonged to the business. And he used his business assets as a way to get the gospel into the ears of the people. When it was over, Jesus did exactly the opposite of what we're trained to think in terms of the sowing, reaping, giving, getting message. In that message, doesn't it kind of go like this? Give, and it will be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men will give unto your bosom. Men will give unto your bosom. And sow and reap. You sow, and you're going to reap. You sow, and you're going to reap. You sow, and you're going to reap. The image is this. We're going to put all this money, you know, our seed faith and whatever we call it, we're going to put it in the offering. We're going to leave that offering. And then somehow, in a way that we don't yet understand, but somehow, we're all of a sudden going to come into all kinds of money. Somebody's going to walk up and hand us $1 million. That could happen. It really could happen. Or an angel's going to knock on the front door and have a couple of suitcases loaded with $100 bills. We don't know for sure. Maybe a Saint Bernard will come, you know, walking down the street with a few bags of cash wrapped around its leg. You know, instead of the, you know, booze, it'll have a few bags of cash. In other words, we have never really been taught to make a connection between what we can do in the natural and the blessings that God wants to pour into our lives. Because what happened here? Jesus, he didn't tell Peter, now, since you've let me use your boat, I'm going to receive an offering. Wouldn't have done him any good. What would Peter have given him? I mean, he might have had some money with him. We don't know. But the mindset is this. We give, and there's going to be this miracle money event take place in our life. But Peter said, or Jesus said to Peter, Peter, I want you to launch out. In other words, Peter, now work with me here. They'd already put in their 8 hours, had they not, all night long. They had already done their job to try with the nets and the whole thing, clean up, go home. Jesus comes along and interrupts the work day. And he says, Peter, let's do this. And Peter says, okay. Jesus teaches. Then he looks at Peter and he says, Peter, I want you to launch out and do some more fishing. Now, in today's vernacular, here's how we'd put it. Peter, I want you to put in some overtime. He'd already put in his shift. And then when he's ready to go home, he gets interrupted. And then Jesus has the audacity to tell him to work overtime. And Peter looks at Jesus and he says, man, I busted my chops all night long and didn't get a thing. But okay, you're the boss. You're the master. I'll do what you said. He did what he said, and within the structure of his business, that's how he was blessed beyond anything he had ever experienced in his entire life. Now here's what I'm getting at. Here's what the Lord showed me. Peter's blessing, see, remember the fish? That represents money to them. That's, you know, food on the table, clothes, that, you know, whatever they needed back then. I was about to say, it keeps the lights on. Not back then. Keeps oil in the lamp, all right? There we go, keeps oil in the lamp. So it does keep the light on, praise God. Anyhow, the Lord said, here's what happens. In the body of Christ, people hear these prosperity messages and it's nothing but a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It's so terribly misleading. And people give and they make sure they put their tent in so I won't kill their kids and everything else. They sow and they do all this thing that they hear these preachers talk about and they never get their blessings. And he says, but in this story with Peter, everything that happened to him on that day and the blessings that he literally, tangibly could touch, the fish, the harvest, the big increase of fish. He said it was all within the structure of the man's occupation. And he said, there are Christians today that are looking for me to work a miracle outside the scope of what they can already do in their lives. When the truth of the matter is, if they just take the time to listen to me, I can tell them how to use what they already have and see their boats laden down with fish. Now let's get some practical examples here. There are some people that go to this church, and I won't use names for the sake of the tape. There are some people that go to this church who are involved in construction. And there are some people involved in this church who are involved business-wise in managing... Now, those of you that you know who I'm talking about when I mention your occupation, I'm not picking on you or anything like this. I'm just trying to give practical examples that everybody here in the congregation can kind of relate to, okay? There are people here involved in like sales of like insurance, people involved in management of storage facility, people involved here in other things. There are Peters here who have fishing boats, okay? That's what I'm getting at. Now, no matter what you are, no matter who you are, no matter what your occupation is, it is entirely possible that God is trying to move in us in what we can do to cause us to increase exponentially when we're looking on the outside for a leprechaun to walk up with a pot of gold. And it's not going to happen. Not the leprechaun. Are you following me here in this? And God said, God, show me how that there are people in the body of Christ, they're missing their blessings. It's not that He isn't blessing them, or it's not that He doesn't want to bless them. It's just that they're looking for something outside of what He's trying to do to get the blessing into their life. Now, let's just imagine, let's just say that somebody here owned a car lot, and they're selling cars. Now, they're trying to believe God for blessings, all right? And they're sowing, they're giving, and all this. They're believing someday, you know, great return, great harvest. I'm going to increase 30, 60, 100 fold return and all that. And so, they're looking, you know, let's say that their car lot is on like two or three sides, you know, bound by a sidewalk and a curb and all that. All right, they're looking on the other side of the curb and the other side of the sidewalk for these blessings. But what God's trying to do, He's trying to get them to sit down long enough and listen to Him, because He wants to give them an idea that's going to cause a breakthrough in their business, and they're going to sell more cars in 1 week than they have in the last 6 months. But they can't conceive that the blessings could come within the framework of what they're already doing. They're looking on the outside. They're waiting for the guy in the suit to pull up in the stretch limo and step out and give them a whole bunch of money. Or for somebody, you know, a rich relative they never knew they had to die and leave them a, you know, big bank account or something like that. I mean, that's kind of how that we hear it. We never hear, I'll say it like this, when we hear this prosperity message preached, we never hear we might have to work. We never hear we might have to put in some overtime. We never hear our daily routine might get interrupted sometime. We don't want to think about those things. Those things are never presented to us. And God says, just look at what happened with Peter. The guy had busted his chops all night long. He was tired. His muscles ached. He did exactly what he should have done in the structure of his business to increase financially, and it didn't work. How many business people, Christians, are working in their business and they are doing exactly what they're supposed to do to increase financially, but nothing's happening? Is it possible that God is trying to get something through them, but they're not looking in the right places? They're not looking within what they already know how to do for God to move to bring a blessing in their life. And not only that, remember how we saw earlier that in this story, it appears as though Jesus and Peter were the only ones on the boat when they, you know, cast the net over. Now, there might have been somebody else on there. I just don't know for sure. But to me, it looks like it might have only been Peter and Jesus. But I will tell you this, even if somebody else had been, if one of the hired servants had been with Peter on that boat, and they threw the net over, and Jesus was just standing there watching, and those guys start pulling in, Jesus already knew what was going to happen, did He not? He already knew that they were going to catch more fish than they could handle, and the other boat was going to come out. He already knew this. So when They, meaning Peter and say one or two hired servants, throw the nets over and they start pulling in and the boat starts going, you remember Jaws? When the shark, you know, starts pulling that boat over sideways. All right, they're trying to pull this in and, you know, the boat's starting to tilt a little bit because of the weight and all this work that they're trying to do. I'm telling you, I know this. Scripture doesn't say it, but I know this. Jesus pitched in and grabbed a hold of that net. He wouldn't have just stood there saying, row, 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 heave, ho, pull that net, heave, ho. I know he pitched in. He's probably laughing the whole time. Well, what are you going to do, Peter? I ain't going to fish out here, huh? No. And Peter says, get the other boat. And these guys are, look at that, the boat's tipping over. What, they snagged on a rock? No, man, look at the fish flopping over. Now, let me explain something to you. Have you ever seen fishermen catch with nets and catch a large school of fish? As those fish are being pulled up to the surface, the water looks like it's boiling. I mean, the water is just churning and churning. It looks like, and when you're standing on shore, and I've seen this before, when you're standing offshore and you see that happen, it looks like something out of a science fiction movie. It's like all of a sudden the water is coming to life and you expect, you know, Godzilla to come up or something. It's just the water is churning and boiling. And then every now and then you see these fins and all this, you know, these fish just, I mean, it's just incredible what happened. So here are the other partners on the shore with the other boat, and they look out and they see this thing happening. And now you talk about churning water. They were catching so many fish, the nets were breaking, fish all over the place. And I'm sure Peter didn't have to ask twice for help. They see that water churning. It's like, whew, look at that. Come on, man, let's get out there. Put those nets back in the boat. Let's go. And they, you know, they're going as fast as they can to get out there to where all these fish are. And they're throwing their nets over. Who else was on the shore? All the people that had heard the teaching. They're watching this. They're seeing this happen. What we might call a miracle right before their very eyes. And so they're catching these fish. God says, it's like God was ministering to me about this. It's like, you know, you got people out there that are in all kinds of businesses. And I'm not, when I mentioned earlier about some, referred to some of the folks that are here, I'm not saying the folks here aren't listening for God. Please do not interpret that, that I was saying that. I'm not saying that. I was just giving examples. But the Lord said in the body of Christ, there are people out there in all kinds of professions, and they keep looking for the outside as opposed to the inside. They already know what to do. If they're a carpenter, if they're a carpet layer, if they are whatever. I mean, he said they already have an ability and a skill to do something and to do a good job of it. I'm not going to tell them to go over and apply for a job at the hospital as a brain surgeon. If he does, he's first going to tell you to go to school to learn how to be a brain surgeon. You see what I'm saying? God's not going to tell you to do something you don't know how to do without first telling you to learn how to do what it is he wants you to do. And it was like he was showing me how that there are so many Christians that have abilities and talents and gifts, and they can do things, but they've been so misled by the prosperity teaching to not think God is going to pour out abundant blessings within the structure of their occupation or their business or whatever it is that they do. We're always looking on the outside. We're always looking for something to happen externally. And it's like he's saying, no, internally. I can bless internally. And if you already know how to do something, you know, it's going to be hard. I'm not a carpenter. It would be hard for God to explain something to me in carpentry to do that would be a real moneymaker. Some people are really gifted in the area of crafts. Trust me, I'm not. So God's not going to come to me and say, okay, all things are possible with God, all right? But when it comes to real crafty little things, real cutesy little stuff, I don't think I'm going to be in that loop. Okay? I personally believe that there are people in this congregation that it's very possible God has been speaking to you about something you already know what to do. What I mean is your ability to do that something. It's already there. Let's use the example of what's a good example? A painter. Let's say somebody's a painter. I mean, an artist painter kind of thing, okay? And you're really, really good at it. Is it possible that God's been trying to tell you to paint things and sell them? I mean, Thomas Kincaid had to come up with the idea somewhere, did he not? I mean, somebody had to come along at some point in time and say, golly, I will give you money for what you have painted. He says, wait, let me get this straight. I love to do this. And yeah, I mean, I recognize God's blessed me with the talent here. You're going to give me money because I put paint on canvas and arrange it in such a way you can recognize what it's supposed to be? So yeah, I'll give you a lot of money for it. And he sits back and says, wow, there could be something in this. You ever gone and looked at some of Kincaid's paintings and the prices and what they cost? That guy ain't hurting for money. Likewise, what if you were an artist, a painter, and God was trying to get across to you, put that talent to work? But you know what? Here's what I've experienced. And it never really clicked as much as it did tonight as God was ministering this to me. I can't begin to tell you how many Christians, just in conversations, have said things to me about, boy, you know what? I'd really like to do some, blah, blah, blah. But I just don't know. In other words, it's something that they can do. It's something they have the ability to do. But they never even try. Could it be that they are missing the greatest financial breakthrough in their entire lives because God is trying to get them to do this thing, whatever it would be? But Pastor, I don't know how I would sell it, market it, produce it, or whatever. Excuse me. God's incapable of helping you in that area, is he not? Who was in that boat with Peter? Jesus. If he tells you to launch out into the deep when it makes no sense to launch out into the deep, in other words, to use your business, your occupation, your talent, in this case, it was fishing boat, to launch out into the deep where you've never been. Now, we know that Peter had probably been in those waters, but probably not in that circumstance, meaning when it's not supposed to work. Not that time of the day, it's not supposed to work. If God tells you to launch out into the deep and do something, you better believe he's in that boat with you, and he's not going to jump overboard and swim to shore and stand there and laugh at you when you sink. Now, you won't sink, but you understand the what I'm getting at here, the concept. If he tells you to launch out, now remember this story, if he tells you to launch out and do something, in the natural, it will probably make no sense whatsoever. There's a good chance it's going to cost you a little more of your time, like it did here with Peter. It's going to probably cost you a little more sweat. It's going to cost you probably a little more. It didn't cost Peter any money. I mean, did it really cost him any more money? No. Now, I will tell you this. When they got the fish back to shore, what did they have to do? They had to fix the nets again. Remember, the nets broke. So it cost him some more time after the increase. But do you think he's really upset now? No, he'll fix nets all day long if he gets catches like that. Suddenly, working overtime doesn't matter to him. Suddenly, sitting out there in the heat as the sun's coming up, it doesn't matter. He's looking at cha-ching, you know. Now, we realize in the story it says they forsook all and they followed him. But you understand the imagery I'm presenting to you in this. In the natural, it's not just about sitting in the chair and waiting for your, you know, like I say, waiting for the ship to come in. That's not what it's all about. God told me that there are people in the body of Christ that are supposed to be doing things for Him, and they're not. But if they would do them, it's going to be within the structure of what they already know how to do, what they're already gifted to do, what they're already talented to do, what they already have an ability to do. It's not going to be some way out in left field kind of a thing. It's something you can do now. And he said, there are people out there who aren't doing this, and they're missing their financial harvest. It's not that I don't want to bless. It's just that they haven't grasped the reality that I will bless within the structure of what a person does. And so, you know, if you're in sales, if you listen, God, maybe He can give you some ideas on how to increase your sales to the point to where it goes beyond all expectations.
Amen.
Yes, glory to God. See, and this, you understand what I said at the beginning, how that this goes against a lot of the prosperity teaching that's out there? Because we're just simply told, in essence now, give the money, sit back and wait for the blessing. That's kind of how it comes across. And God's saying, no, Peter got the biggest blessing of his entire life, and the guy was a professional fisherman. He knew where to go. He knew where to cast the nets. He understood all the ins and outs of fishing. But he had never had a day like this. But he took what he had, and it was like he committed it unto the Lord for his use. And that can mean different things to different people in different jobs and different occupations, okay? And the Lord told him to do something within the framework of his occupation. It made no sense. And to other professional, hey, you think that on that Sea of Lake of Gennesaret, that's also the Sea of Galilee. Same thing. You think that those two boats were the only fishing boats there that day? I mean, don't you think it's possible other people were in the fishing business as well? So there were other professional fishermen, you know, on the shore, you know, more boats and so forth. They saw this too. It didn't make any sense to them. Well, those dummies, look at them. They're going, this isn't the time to catch fish. Should have caught them last night. But look what these guys are so stupid, they're not going to catch. And all of a sudden, there goes the water churning. It's like, can you believe that? Wow, man, you guys really caught the fish. Look at that. Wow, that's cool. God will have you do something. And I know this is going to be different for different people. You say, well, but Brother Martin, I'm retired and I don't have anything. Oh, no, you're not retired. You just don't work where you used to. Retirement is not pack it up and sit on your duff and wait to die. Retirement is you're no longer bound by your former employer. You've been set free. But even at that, it's possible that a retired person, God could speak to them about what they did for 35 years. God could speak to them about what you did, what you learned about. Let me tell you something. Let me show you what to do, what you need to do. Oh, but God, I'm too old. It's too late in life. Or God, I don't know how. God, hey, if God can tell you to do it, He can sure explain how. And I know this. I know this as sure as I'm standing here. There are going to be countless numbers of Christians going to stand before God asking Him, well, where was all this money I was supposed to have to spread the gospel? We're not talking from a greedy perspective, all right? We're talking strictly from I want to do more for Jesus. And God's response is going to be, do you remember back when I told you thus and thus? That was you? I thought that was just, you know, Taco Bell at midnight. That was you? Yeah, that was me. And remember how that thought came to you 15 times over 22 years and you never did anything with it? That was me. That little thing I told you to do would have eventually turned into a multi-million dollar increase that you would have used for the kingdom. And the kingdom never got it. And I like I said, I'm so convinced that even in this congregation, there are people here. God is wanting to show you something that you can do with what you already know how to do within the structure of your abilities and your gifts that is going to turn into a money maker. And what you do with the money, hey, you can be greedy with it, You can do whatever you want with it. We don't know for sure what Peter did with all those fish. We really don't. But you can use it for the kingdom. You can use that money for the kingdom. You know what? Personally, I believe that most, if not all, the people in this church would use increase for kingdom's sake. You wouldn't deprive yourself, I know that, and God wouldn't tell you to. He'd work with you on that. But I know that you'd use it to bless the kingdom and to spread the gospel. I really believe that. And I believe, as I'm standing here, that there are some people in this church that God is standing right there, ready to give you something to do. And some of you, you know what? It's very possible you already know what that something is. As you're sitting here hearing this tonight, it's possible you already know. Take the first step of faith. Say, what's that? I don't know what it would be for each person. I don't know what that means for each individual and what he's telling you. And if you don't know, go and ask him. Just say, God, look, after this message tonight, is there something you're trying to give me to do? Is there something you're trying to show me? Is there something you're wanting me to make, write, create, do? I don't know. Just tell me, God, what's the first step you want me to take? Because, God, I look at my bank account, and I don't have enough money to finance this thing you're telling me to do. Once again, if God's telling you to do it, the rest of it will work out. They forsook all, at the end of the story, they forsook all and followed him. Do you think they had any concern whatsoever they were ever going to lack? Not after that. Not after that. So it was no big deal when the time came, which here was relatively short, but for anyone in the body of Christ, when you have this kind of an experience, and the time would come that God might say, leave secular and go full-time in ministry, you're going to say, okay, no problem. I know you can do it. Because you did it while I was in secular, I know you can do it here. So, my challenge to you is this. Get those ears a-listening. Listen very intently. And if you believe God's given you something and you want to come and talk to me about it, come and talk to me about it. I don't know that I can confirm or deny whatever you say, but I'm willing to listen. And bless God, I'll tell you, I'm willing to encourage you. Because I've got an example right here that God wants to bless us so that we can get this gospel spread, so that we can get the word out, so that we can tell people about Jesus. And I tell you what, when the millions start pouring in, you better believe we're going to be able to spread the gospel more effectively and more efficiently than we ever have before. And it's going to feel so good to do it that way too. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everybody stand.